Yes, my name is Wazir Peacock. I'm very known as Willie B. Peacock in, back in the day in Mississippi. Before I tell how things affected me, I just want to add a footnote to what the last speaker was saying. me being a person that would have encouraged certain things, it was a group of young men who Silas McGee grew up with, came to the SNCC office, about 24 of them, with high-powered rifles, and said, do we go to North Greenwood and wipe out as many as we can? Or do, what you think? We got to do something. I said, well, that wouldn't be... It really shook me up, you know, because they were looking for me to lead it. Because I had put my little bony chest out there like I was some black nationalist, you know. And so I said, it wouldn't be fair. I said, we got it. Really, at the Grapevine, we knew who did it. So I said, it wouldn't be fair to do that. I said, if you're going to do anything, you need to go and find the ones who did it. I said, because it wouldn't be fair to go and do that. And plus the fact, I said you would call the black community to be bombed. So so it was a lot of things going on in the background when they shot Silas McGee. It could have been he survived, but it could have been much, much worse. We as the SNCC people, we were nonviolent, but the local people, we couldn't say to them not to protect their homes and their families. And back there, everybody hunted wild game in the Mississippi and the South and all that, so everybody had an old shotgun or better. the thing it is, let me begin. I'll tell you a short story. What got me involved is that my parents moved me to a plantation when I was about 12 years old from the little city of Charleston. And I got a chance, we had just been studying black slavery, actually, in the sixth grade, and then I got a chance to feel it and see it in action. Slavery still existed on the plantation and the sharecropping. There were people I met who had, who was a lineage of people who had been on that plantation ever since slavery. Their families, it was just, when the land was sold, they went with the land, that kind of thing. And Charleston was about 6 miles away. But just 6 miles away, there were people that were totally illiterate in the dark. I couldn't believe it. So it had an effect on me, and I saw how black people were treated up close. I mean, my parents, especially my father, he had protected us. I had heard about it. I knew about lynchings and stuff, but I had never I'd been protected from it. So it turned me, from that point on, right at that point, I made a decision that I was going to leave the plantation. And I ran away from home when I was about 14 years old. And I found like my age, and I really looked like a baby face. I really did. And I kept trying to put my age up to do things. And that kept hitting me in the face. So finally I decided I needed to go back home and finish my high school and education. And I went back with the determination that if I ever ran and heard about a group of people or anybody that was going to fight to turn this thing around, that I was going to join them. And so I started a little protest and stuff right there in high school to try to turn things, help things, you know. But immediately after I hit college, I found a slew of people that were ready to move. And about that time, that was in 58, and then about then we started doing things, and then 1960 rolled around, February of 1960, then we became, I'm controllable on that campus, the dear old Russ College, Holly Springs, Mississippi, where many of the Summer Project Freedom persons housed themselves, are right across the street on Rust Avenue. It was a Freedom House, which they have they've turned their memorial. In other words, it's a part of the memory of Rust College.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and some of you may if some of you here who were there, you knew Dr. Ernest Smith. He passed away back in November. I wanted you to know that. Anyway, so the way it affected me is that I began to see things, that this thing was deeper than just lynching in the South. That this thing, I began to get, because I was in college, I was a science major. But I began, and even in the science, I began to see how things connected and affected each other. And this thing was so deep. It went all, it was this whole thing of oppression, segregation, and slavery was about economics. Mm-hmm. Economics. And black people were a product to be sold and to be kept in a situation education-wise whereby they could still, they would feel like they were some less than a human being, some kind of product. But we never really felt that way. We acted certain kinds of ways to survive. But it's so deeply ingrained until we're still feeling the fallouts of it right to this day, 2010. So to make a long story short, it kept me, I thought we would get this thing, I got in with SNCC, and I thought we would get this thing over in a couple of years, and I would go on back and go to medical school and become some kind of sophisticated doctor, you know, accepted in the higher levels, you know, that kind of whatever that aspiration is supposed to be. But first I thought, well, we can't do that. We got to clear up a lot of, it's like dirt and brushes that's, and stuff that's washed up on the beach. We got to clear that off before you can have a good time, you know. So I've been trying for the last 50 years to try to clear the beach so I could have a good time. And it ain't happened yet. So I'm still busy. The struggle definitely continues, and if you, so those young people are here today who have gotten too close to us, you have caught the disease, it's contagious. You'll never get over it. Because you'll keep seeing things, and you'll keep seeing things that must be taken care of.